Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip through the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or in Tupelo. And if you can't make it to one of those two locations, well, they can bring it right to you. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and order some of the dry roast or the K-Cups, whatever kind of contraption you've got for making coffee in your house. Strange Brew has a coffee for you. Our good friends at College Corner, it's still a new year. You still need some new gear. Baseball season will be upon us pretty soon. And hey, basketball season, maybe. Maybe it's time to make a trip to the hump. And if you want to do that, you want to make sure you're looking good. Some brand new maroon and white gear. Two locations of College Corner to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Humble Taco, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Mexican fare with Mississippi roots. And don't forget about their Sunday brunch. If you're in Starkville for the weekend, you want to enjoy a little different kind of brunch, man, they've got you taken care of there at Humble Taco. Lots of great specials every day. They do wings on Wednesday, and it's always Taco Tuesday at Humble Taco. Enjoy some great food, great margaritas, and a great time at Humble Taco. When you're looking for something quick and delicious for lunch, I'd hit up Firehouse Subs, and I'd use the Firehouse Subs app. It's an easy download, and once you do that, it's an easy way to get a lunch that is quick, that's great tasting, it's good for you, and hey, you're going to be piling up reward points and eating free sandwiches pretty soon. I don't think any sandwich app, any restaurant app gives you reward points faster than when you use the Firehouse Subs app. Locations in Starkville, Oxford, Tupelo, Columbus, Flowood, and Madison, that's Firehouse Subs. We're back. It's good to be back.
It's about dang time.
I know.
I mean, sitting around waiting on you.
I mean,
was just,
what do you want? So I want to thank everybody.
Please, can we have a sustained week where
I think so.
You think we could do that?
I mean, I don't make any promises in this life. You know, I think that the Bible teaches us that tomorrow is not promised to us. So, you know, we should.
Yeah, but this is kind of your job to talk, and you haven't been talking for like.
I get that.
3 weeks.
I get that. I'm just saying that, you know, the world could end tomorrow, and, you know, it's not my fault that there's no podcast after the rapture, okay? So you just have to let me be on that one.
Don't you put this on Jesus's shoulders.
He can bear that burden. He bears the burden of the world. He can handle that as well. I want to thank everybody who reached out and asked how it checked in on me. I appreciate that. Those of you who didn't check in, your absence has been noted. We'll remember those things. Saw a lot of guys on social media, on message boards asking about me. Really appreciate that. Saw some hate. That's okay, too. I got no problem with that. But
at least does that count as checking in on you?
Yeah, it's a good question.
They thought about you, at least.
I was at least on their brain, right? I guess so. So, yeah. But it's good to be back, and we got a lot to talk about. We'll hit the transfer portal in the second half of the show. Talk a little women's basketball, a little historic moment of the bad kind. On Sunday, but we will start with men's basketball and their big win over Alabama, a game where I thought they played a pretty complete game. I thought that having Tolu Smith back, he made a difference when he was in, but he was in foul trouble most of the game, and yet State was still able to win the game and still able to you know, the final 6 minutes of the game, Tolu Smith on the bench fouled out, and State was still able to pull away. Iverson Molinar had a great week. I expect at some point today, on Monday, I guess I should say, he'll be named SEC Player of the Week. Just a really good win, and a win that State really needed to have after that loss last week at Ole Miss. That sort of this win sort of got them back on track, because when we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, we said, look, State need, you know, especially once they beat Arkansas, They need to beat Missouri. That game was canceled. They need to beat Ole Miss. They lost. And they need to beat Georgia. They did. This win was sort of – this game was sort of one we were looking at and saying, ah, it'll be tough to beat Alabama. They got the win. That sort of puts them back on track.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I just thought that the adjustments that they made in the second half were crucial in this ball game. And I think Alabama's going to be a really good team when it's all said and done. And they've lost three straight games. But you look at it, I mean, the Missouri game is kind of unexplainable. I don't know what happened.
Same as the Ole Miss game for State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Quanzo Martin's no longer the coach there now, and, you know, their program didn't do anything after winning that game. So that was kind of one of those games that you can't really explain that happened in the SEC whenever teams go on the road. But they lost to Auburn, who, in my mind, is the best team in the country. I watched them last night against Ole Miss. I thought Ole Miss played really well for about the first 25 to 30 minutes of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just see the talent seeping out of that. It's just – it's incredible what Auburn has. So losing that ball game very close manner that they did, you can tell this Alabama team has the pieces there to be really good, and I think they will be. So this was a huge win for Mississippi State. And, Brian, what have we talked about, you know, all year and even, you know, last year between you and I? This team just cannot win those games, those close ball games against good teams. They and these big games that they have, they can't seem to win those ball games. And that's been what's been holding them back every single year, it seems like. I mean, it's really what hindered them last year in a year that was kind of a rebuilding season. They had so many of those games that if they swing the other way, you might be talking about Mississippi State playing an NCAA tournament last year instead of going to the NIT, but instead they weren't able to win those games. So you talk about the schedule, and there's not that many bad losses on the schedule for Mississippi State this year. They do have the Ole Miss game, but there's no good wins. This was finally a good win for Mississippi State. Finally a good win. And now that Arkansas game is starting to creep up, they're quad two now, and they're moving – I think they moved up almost 30 spots in the net. So –
State's really going to get a great benefit of playing Arkansas when they were down, but now Arkansas is going to get their players back and they'll start moving up.
Yes.
That's going to work out perfectly for Mississippi State.
Except for the fact that they have to go to Fayetteville.
They do, but by that point in the season, they might be rolling and might have some confidence. This is a big week, though, this week for Mississippi State. Florida is just not what it was. I think Mike White – I think our good friend Scott Strickland is going to have to make his second personnel decision of the year or of the athletic year, I guess I should say, in the coming months. I don't think Mike White's much longer for Gainesville. And then you have Ole Miss again. State could really go for 2-0. I don't think 2-0 is a must. If you lose at Florida, it's not that bad. They got to beat Ole Miss on Saturday. They absolutely. I said that 2 weeks ago. It didn't happen. But they absolutely have to beat Ole Miss on Saturday.
No doubt. And you looked at the stretch. It was a very daunting stretch, probably the toughest that Mississippi State's going to face in a five-game stretch this season. And I thought two wins would be okay, not great, but be okay. Three wins would be really good to get three wins out of the stretch. Four would be incredible. But if you could get to three wins in this stretch, that would be outstanding for Mississippi State. To do that, I feel like you have to beat Florida this week. You have to go on the road. This is not a Florida team that is one that scares you very much.
Right.
So State, if they can find a way to win that ball game, I actually feel pretty good about the Ole Miss game. I don't see Mississippi State laying an egg twice against them, especially at home. But, man, if you can win this game on Wednesday night, I think you're going to – I said it on our Twitter spaces the other night, I think if State wins this game, they're going to have 8,000 plus at the hump. I think it will be rocking for that ball game because people will start to really get invested in this team, and they want to see Mississippi State beat Ole Miss after what happened in Oxford. So I feel like that's going to be a game that should be well attended, especially if they win on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think that if State had beaten Ole Miss two Saturdays ago, you would have had that kind of crowd for the game against Alabama. I think that would have been a big crowd, but that loss put people off. They want to see a little more. if State can beat Florida, I agree with you. There will be a big, big crowd, especially with, and we'll talk about the women's game in just a minute, but State hasn't beaten Ole Miss in anything this athletic year. So, you know, I guess, you know, women's soccer, but.
And how much different is our thoughts on this Mississippi State basketball team if they win that Ole Miss game?
I would be talking about them in terms of.
They'd be in the top 25 right now.
They'd be making a push to be like a 5 or 6 seed when it all comes around.
They'd be 4-0. Mm-hmm. They would have won 7 straight games. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be talking about them. They're receiving votes at least in the top 25 and possibly inside.
Probably, yeah.
That game is the difference in people right now being still kind of wishy-washy and everybody being fully on board.
Every year, Robbie. Every year, that game one, State goes into it with momentum, and you and I, or me and Joel, or me and Bob, or whoever it was, we talk about if State could just win this game, everybody might be willing to get back on board, and they lose that game. Losing game one is just, it's just become part of, you know, as much a tradition as, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's just, you just sort of mark it on your calendar now.
And, at the same time, though, are we kind of making it harder than it should be? Like, I feel like we should look at the big picture here for this particular season. And I understand people are still very skeptical on Ben Howland and all that. But I feel like we're letting that cast a shadow over kind of where Mississippi State is, because they have won 6 out of 7 games. I don't think that one game should be the overlying issue. I feel like, you know, that they deserve a little more credit than they're getting right now. And I feel like, you know, one loss under Ben Howland has been magnified past, you know, 5 or 6 wins. And a lot of that is there's a lot of truth to, you know, to a lot of that as well, because State hasn't been able to go to the NCAA tournament but one time. So I can understand the skeptics out there. But at the same time, I do think that Mississippi State has played pretty well the last couple of weeks, that game notwithstanding.
What I would say is that Ole Miss always hold. I mean, beating Ole Miss is important to Mississippi State fans. You know, every time a coach gets hired at Mississippi State, they all make the same joke. When I talked to Dr. Keenum, he said, you need to make sure you represent the university with dignity, blah, 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 and beat Ole Miss. They make the same joke every time, and that's because it's important. So when you lose to Ole Miss, especially, you know, it would be one thing if you were losing to good Ole Miss teams. You aren't. That's a bad Ole Miss team. They're not going to the NCAA tournament. They probably aren't going to go to the NIT. And you couldn't beat them. And, I mean, a team that they scored 51 points the game after you played them, but you let them score 82. You let a guy who is, I mean, a complete and unknown score 30 points on them. That's a tough pill to swallow. That being said, you're right. It is just one game. You can get it back. You can get them back on Saturday, and you can start moving forward. The metrics are good for this team. The team's playing well when they have Tolu Smith. The committee takes those things into account. One thing that, if you listen to the broadcast last night, Damian Fishback was very adamant, and he's correct, that the NCAA, the tournament committee, they look at how, you know, how you played when players are out. Well, Tolu Smith didn't play against Colorado State. That's a loss. That's a close loss for Mississippi State. They probably would have won if Tolu Smith had played in that game. I don't believe he played against Minnesota as well. I could be wrong on that. Am I wrong? I have to go back and look.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't think he did.
So that's two of your losses right there, and he didn't play against Ole Miss, right?
No, he did not play against Ole Miss.
Didn't play against Ole Miss. So
he's only played in like 6 games.
This is 6th game. He played his 6th game on Saturday. Yeah, and even in that game, he only played what, half the game, because he got into foul trouble in the first half. He fouled out with 6 minutes to go.
He did play. He's played in 2 MSU losses. He played against Louisville, and he played against Minnesota.
Did play against Minnesota. Okay.
And that Louisville game was his first game back. So yeah. I don't blame him for any of that.
You know, they're Louisville. I know they're not Louisville what they normally are this year, but that's still a good name program. They have good players. It's gonna be tough to beat. So,
but I just think that I feel like after every loss, it's an overwhelming, like, it's time to fire Howland. it's time, you know, don't even let him get on the bus. What are we waiting on? Things like that. And then, you know, they'll win like three or four games and people will slowly like creep back up, but not fully get him on board. Then they'll lose again. Like, I told y'all, it's not going to happen.
I think that's a cumulative effect of 7 years and only one tournament appearance. And the way they underachieved in 2019-2020. And the way that last year's team was so up and down, people just want consistency.
Is there ever going to be a moment, though, that you think that everybody will be like, okay, we're on board? Is it ever going to happen with Hallen?
I think that had he went to the tournament, if that next team, which should have been a tournament team, no questions asked, right? Reggie Perry, Robert Woodard, Nick Weatherspoon, Tyson Carter, and everybody else, that's a tournament team. You have enough players to go to be a consistent team. They were so up and down that year. They had a top four finish in the SEC, but they weren't guaranteed to be in the NCAA tournament field. If that team had been what it was supposed to be and had been a lock for the tournament when the pandemic happened and everything got canceled, I don't think Hallen is facing as much criticism today as he is. Because one thing people never take into consideration is this. State got better every year the first 4 years under Hallen. They had a losing record, then they were over 500. Then they went to the NIT, I think, semifinals. Then they were in the NCAA tournament. Then the fifth year, he takes a step back when he should have at least been as good as he was the year before, if not a little bit better, to be totally honest. I mean, Perry and Woodard got drafted into the NBA.
I think that was kind of the year that really soured everybody.
It did. It absolutely
did. Because even last year, people could see middle of the year, they were getting better,
yeah.
And that was a team that was very young and inexperienced. Exactly. I think people could understand that was just kind of, you know, not the norm. But that year where he did not do anything to improve upon the year before was really kind of a sour subject for State fans. And listen, they might have ended up making the tournament, but that's kind of a moot point because they were a 5 seed the year before and they were on the bubble
right
the year after that with the same team that should have been better. But they didn't have Q that year, did they?
No. They lost Q and Holman and Lamar Peters.
Those were big pieces, but they had enough there. They had enough there.
Having Woodard and Perry, Perry was the SEC player of the year, and you were a bubble team.
Yeah.
You know, and Tyson Carter was the sixth man of the year. Woodard was great that year. Nick Weatherspoon was good enough. You had Abdul Adu in the middle handling the defense for you. You had enough going on there to be an NCAA tournament team. And you just weren't. So this year, there have been some moments where you look back and you're like, they're underachieving again. I mean, they should have beaten Colorado State. Minnesota was a game that they just let get away from them. But Minnesota isn't so good that should have happened. And then you had the Ole Miss game again. State could use, and you just sort of hit on it a second ago. If they had beaten Ole Miss, they would have won 7 in a row. You can't really complain about 7 wins in a row, right? But because it's 6 out of 7and that Ole Miss game is in there, State could really use 2-0 this week just to win a few in a row. At that point, you've won what? 4 in a row? Then you got to play Kentucky and Texas Tech. That's going to be tough, but just get a little bit of momentum going. That's you know, and I don't know. Kentucky isn't unbeatable. Texas Tech isn't unbeatable. If you play a good game, you got a chance to win those games. But this week is a great opportunity for Mississippi State basketball. They're playing well right now. They're starting to everybody's starting to find their roles, find their rhythm within the offense, find their roles within, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. A couple of wins this week would go a long, long way for this basketball team.
No doubt. But it's so tough to get people fully invested in this basketball program. You have to string wins together. You can't go back and forth. You can't have it let down. I mean, it's just the program is at the point now with the fan base where they just are not emotionally invested. They don't want to get emotionally invested because they don't want to be disappointed again. And I
disagree with you. They are emotionally invested, but it's only negative.
Yeah. No, like, I mean to get fully behind the team.
Right. The team wins and they're like, okay, big deal. But if State loses, we're going to hear about it.
That's one thing I did want to touch on. I see so many people that actually get upset when State wins the ball game, because it kind of dampers the thought process that Ben Howland is going to be out. And they're kind of over Ben Howland at this point, and they don't want Mississippi State to win. That's how I've translated that, is people getting upset. Well, yeah, this team's no good. Or
it's sort of like what we had at the end of the 2019 football season, where there were some State fans who were like, I would lose the Egg Bowl if I knew it meant Moorhead was going to get fired.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's just –
I can't get behind that.
No, like you need to hope that Ben Howland succeeds, because him succeeding is good for your program. You don't want to go into another coaching search right now. I mean, do you have faith that there's going to be a great hire made if Ben Howland is no longer the coach next year? I don't have any faith. I don't know who they're going to hire. I don't know if it's going to be an upgrade or if they're going to go regress back to what Rick Ray had. So if you're a Mississippi State fan and you want Mississippi State to succeed, you want Ben Howland to succeed.
Agreed 100%. So big week for Mississippi State. We'll preview those games as we get a little closer to them. But if State can go 2-0 this week, really puts some cushion on the padding around the bubble for Mississippi State. I assume when the net comes out this week, I haven't looked at it today, but the next one I look at, I would imagine Mississippi State's probably, you know, what, mid-30s at this point? That's good spot for Mississippi State, but a couple of wins.
I want to say somebody said that they dropped somehow.
After beating Alabama?
Yeah.
That's
I might be wrong.
Now you're going to make me look. I wasn't going to look, but now I feel like
I haven't researched it, but I was skimming through the board earlier, and I could have sworn somebody said that they dropped.
All right, this is updated as of yesterday. So as of yesterday, State was 40. They were down to 48. But like I said, that's updated as of yesterday. I don't know if that includes – well, it says through games. So, yeah, they did. They're down to 48. Wow, that's surprising. That is very
– somebody else dropped? Because Arkansas came up by like 30 spots. Alabama was – pretty high. I mean, what?
Florida went up four spots. But yeah, 37 dropped to 43. 38 dropped to 44. 45 dropped to 47. And then you've had some good teams go up. 44 went up to 39. So State's just in a little bit of a perfect storm there where they got caught. That being said, Florida,
it'll all work itself out.
Florida being what? What would I just say they were? They're 46. That'll be a quad one, right? If State can beat them?
Yeah, because it's on the road.
Yeah, so that means chance to get a quad one win for Mississippi State on Wednesday. We'll see what happens.
This is much different in the SEC than what it has been. Used to in the SEC, you had to schedule some really good non-conference teams if you wanted to have a good shot at the NCAA tournament, because the SEC was so bad. But now you got like 8 or 9 teams in the top 50 of the net, I think. And so there's going to be tons of opportunities out there for Mississippi State. They can get some wins.
Agreed. We'll see what happens this week. Big win for the Bulldogs. Now it's a big week for the Bulldogs. Let's move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi. Excuse me. Had a little voice crack there. I promise I'm not going through puberty. I want to thank our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. It's cold outside. We didn't get any snow up here in Starville, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be thinking about chili. A friend of mine made some chili this weekend. She made chili and apple pie. Does it get any more American than that? I mean, that's what I'm talking about, right? If I tell you, hey, we're having chili and we're having apple pie for dessert, you're showing up. So chili, beef stew, vegetable beef soup, those are all great ideas right now while it's cold outside. And then when it warms up and you want to fire up the grill, you just can't go wrong with some steak, some tri-tip, some picanha. There's so many great cuts of beef. If you don't have a good relationship with your local butcher, you need to get one, because they can help you out with these kind of things. And of course, when you buy beef, not only are you giving your family a delicious and nutritious meal, well, then you're also helping out 15,000 of your fellow Mississippians doing $500 million worth of agriculture business in our state every year. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Go to msbeef.org for recipes. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats. you know, one of the things that I, you know, having COVID and being, you know, quarantined, I haven't been out to eat. You know, I've done some carry out, but I haven't been out to eat. I'm going back to Two Brothers. As soon as I feel 100%, I'm going to Two Brothers that very day. I will call you, Robbie Falk. We will go to Two Brothers together and enjoy a meal. We still haven't had the meal. I just thought
when is that going to happen?
I got to be well, Robbie.
It's got to happen this week.
If I'm well Thursday, Friday, that's when we should be looking at.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I don't want to go sick. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. But Two Brothers might be getting our business. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But it should definitely get your business. What a great spot. Great. I mean, the food there is so good. Now I'm thinking about it, man. Now I've got smoked wings on the brain. I got to do something about that. So next time you're in Starkville, head over to the Cotton District. Head to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. They make it really simple for you at Advantage Business Systems. It couldn't be any easier than great products and great service, could it? We're talking about an incredible selection of products, everything your business needs from a technology standpoint, computers, printers, copiers, information systems, mailing systems. They've got it all. And then when the sale is made, they don't just ship you off with a 1-800 number to some overseas call center. We're talking about same-day service from people you know and trust because they're Mississippians just like you. Call them today and put Advantage Business Systems to work for you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. It's been too long since we played the song. Well, we knew Mississippi State was going to be active in the portal, and that's exactly what they have been since we last convened, Robbie. There have been quite a few additions to Mississippi State via the transfer portal. We talked about Marcus Banks and his addition, but since that moment in time, State has added three more transfers, two receivers and a defensive back. Jackie Matthews is the DB transferring in from West Virginia, and then two receivers, kind of interesting guys, Jordan Mosley from Northwestern, Justin Robinson from Georgia. Robinson is an interesting one to me for two reasons. He and Mosley both. These are younger guys. These aren't grad transfers. These aren't one-year deals. These are guys sort of like Mekhi Polk. They're going to come in with multiple years of eligibility. Rogers is intriguing to me. Not Rogers, Robinson. Because I saw some people, maybe upset's not the right word, but they're like, I don't know about this kid. Like, I don't understand what State, you know, State needs to get an impact guy right away. I want the people who are thinking like that to do a little exercise with me. And Robbie, if you're one of those people, you can do it with me. I know you're not, though.
Do we have to do exercise?
It's a mental exercise. We don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Like I would ever suggest that we do an exercise.
I mean, that's true. I should have known better.
No humor, Robbie. I can't laugh. I'm still not there. Please don't joke.
I'll try.
But think about this. Let's say this kid Robinson, who was a true freshman last year at Georgia. Let's say that on signing day of last year, he had flipped from Georgia to Mississippi State. How ecstatic would you be, right? We flipped a guy that had a Georgia commitment. Come on. But now, after his redshirt year, I don't know. What are we thinking here? This guy is 6'4". He's 220 pounds. Kirby Smart thought he was good enough to play for the best team in college football. Why the hesitation with that?
Well, the reason that I wanted to do some background checking on him, because there's a lot of times that guys like this, four-star guys coming out of high school, they go to Georgia, they go to Alabama, and they get processed, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. They're not going to play there. They get recruited over and all that. So I kind of wanted to talk to some Georgia people and get their thoughts, because a lot of times when you talk to people that are on the beat, they'll give you a pretty good idea about where that player is. And so I knew that I could get a straight up answer from Rusty Manziel, because he's very, you know, he's a Georgia guy, but he will tell you straight up, you know, what he knows about a player. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. He's not going to, you know, have sour grapes. And he said that this guy is going to make an impact right away at Mississippi State. He really believes that he will come in and immediately make an impact. And what he told me, major impact. 6'4", 220, can move for a guy his size. I think 4'5", maybe high 4'5", around 4'6". But 4'6", to 6'4", 220 is moving.
Yeah.
So getting a guy like this in the program, I trust Steve Spurrier's evaluations. He decided to go away from RJ Sneed from Baylor, who I thought Mississippi State had a good chance of getting. He decided to go away from that route and go for a younger guy and a guy that has a much higher ceiling, because that's what Justin Robinson has. He's a redshirt freshman, so he's still got 3-4 years to go, mm-hmm. because he's got that COVID year if he wants to use it.
Right.
So it's obvious that Steve Spurrier is going for the potential, long-term potential with these two guys, Jordan Mosley and Justin Robinson, two completely different wide receivers. Robinson is a big freakish athlete that's got a very high ceiling. That could be a big play guy or possession receiver type. Jordan Mosley's got that breakaway speed. He can be a big time playmaker. That's significantly shorter than Justin Robinson, but a different kind of wide receiver. So he got two different wide receivers that have a ton of potential coming in. And I think that tells you that he feels good about what he's bringing back, and he also wants to elevate the type of athlete that he has at wide receiver.
Yeah, the thing I keep coming back to when people have asked me about this is, they're talking about we need somebody to immediately come in and replace Polk. Who was Mekhi Polk a year ago? He had caught 36 passes in 2 years at Cal. Nobody thought he was going to come in and rewrite Mississippi State's record book for receiving. Nobody thought that. So he had a tremendous year for Mississippi State, but this offense lends itself to receivers having a tremendous year. Somebody in that receiver room is going to catch between 80 and 100 passes again this year. I don't know who it is, but it's going to be somebody. It's going to be Jaden Wally. It's going to be Austin Williams. It's going to be Ra-Ra Thomas. It's going to be maybe Justin Robinson, maybe somebody else. It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to do it. So I don't worry.
The thing that's really exciting about this, about what they're doing at wide receiver, is they're bringing in talent that they haven't had. They're bringing in a lot of speed, and they're mixing in with some size too. They got some guys that can be some physical mismatches for defensive backs. And then they're bringing in speed with this class and some of the transfer portal guys too. So you've got a really good mix of players. And go look at what these guys were rated coming out of high school. There's a handful of 4-star guys at wide receiver that I'd venture to say Mississippi State's never had. I don't think they've ever had this many 4-stars on a roster. So now they really need to start pumping out some NFL wideouts. And I think you're getting closer to that whenever you're adding 4-star talent year after year. I think you're eventually going to start getting those kind of players. And I think that's what Steve Spurrier is trying to do here, is go out there and get some guys that are – they've had guys that fit the offense, that just fit the offense, that can put up a lot of yards. They haven't had very many guys over the years that have been NFL wide receivers. So I really believe that what Steve Spurrier is doing and adding some of these players is he's bringing in guys that he feels like he can develop much easier into NFL wide receivers, which is going to lend itself to having much more talent on the field.
Yeah, I mean it. Why did Ole Miss get guys like A.J. Brown and, I don't want to hear any jokes, D.K. Metcalf and those guys? Because they were putting receivers into the NFL. Say what you want about Laquon Treadwell. He was a first-round pick. Dante Moncrief was a high draft choice. So, and it's sort of the same reason State gets great defensive linemen right now. It's because they have been putting them into the NFL. So, you're right. getting an NFL, that's sort of the first thing you need to have, right? We talked about it with quarterbacks for a long time. You got Dak Prescott now. The next thing is to get a wide receiver into the NFL, and that will get the, you sort of, when you combine, we can get you to the pros with we're going to give you a chance to catch 75, 80 passes. That's how you get things done if you're Mississippi State.
Absolutely. And I really like the wide receivers, honestly. I'm not going to, like I said about Robinson, I'm not going to be upset about that because I trust Steve Spurrier probably more than any other coach on Mississippi State staff when it comes to evaluation and things like that. And he had a guy that I felt like was ready-made to come in here and pick up at least somewhat where Mekhi Polk left off. I felt like he could come in there and catch 80 balls next season, no problem. That was a guy that I don't think that Mississippi State was really taking a chance on. I think that R.J. Snead could have come in and made a difference for the Bulldogs. He decided to go in a different direction and go with this kid. So I think that it's going to be good for State at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I'm not too worried there. Let's talk a little bit about Jackie Matthews. That's a guy who I think also is going to come in. He'll be an immediate impact guy. He'll find a spot there in that secondary. One of the safety spots will likely be his. Again, you know, talking to some people, I think it was our friend Stefan Krasnick who had a friend on the West Virginia beat who told him that guy can play. That feels like a good pickup for Mississippi State. Between he and Banks, State has done well in secondary recruiting in the portal again this season.
Yeah, I think so. They needed some help on the back end, a guy that could cover, a guy that could hit. I think Jackie Matthews is going to help you there. I think you upgraded in talent by adding him. And there's no doubt I think they upgraded in talent by adding Marcus Banks as well. And, you know, I know there was some uneasy feelings for people about Marcus Banks still being recruited or whatever, but he is enrolled in school and ready to go. Jackie Matthews, I think, is going to be in school this week. The same for the other guys as well. And I think I have a really good feeling about a special teams guy that's going to be joining State's program this week as well.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about that. They did get a commitment who I guess will sign on the signing date coming up. Was that February 2nd, I believe?
Yes.
Now, why is he not listed on 24/7?
He's a walk-on.
Oh, it's a preferred walk-on. Okay.
Yeah, I was actually talking about an additional.
I know you were talking about. But, I know you were talking about. But I'm saying they did get another commitment.
Yes. Gabriel Placencia, I think is his name.
That's correct, yes.
Who's highly thought of, a kicker / punter. I think that they will probably give him an opportunity to do both. But if I had to guess, punter is probably where they might work with him more, because I think they need to have some competition there. They need to have some competition at punter and kicker, to be honest with you. Mm. And they just lost Nolan McCord to the transfer portal, which is not that big of a surprise. But I feel like they're going to get a big addition in the next couple of days as far as kicker is concerned.
We're having to play the old private commitment game here. One thing that
mystery recruit.
Yeah. One thing that does sort of stand out, though, is State has not filled its biggest need in the portal yet, and that's the offensive tackle. Excuse me. They've had some guys come and go. Tremont Shorts, it looks like, is not going to head to Mississippi State. I think back a season ago where State was desperately trying to get a cornerback. It made sense that they could not get one, right, because you couldn't offer them a starting job. You know, you knew that Forbes and Emerson were going to be the guys there. This is the opposite of that situation. You got both spots wide open. Are you surprised State hasn't seemed to have any takers as far as the spot at that offensive tackle?
I am. I thought that was going to be a really easy sell for Mississippi State. I mean, you're talking about you have a wide open spot at left tackle and right tackle. You do have a JUCO guy coming in that you feel like is going to take one of those spots, but he hasn't proven anything yet. You can easily sell that to a incoming transfer, and State just has not been able to do it. I don't know what the problem is there, but they haven't been able to find a guy. And really, Shorts, from what I'm understanding, was being recruited as an interior guy,
right?
Which I don't get. I mean, you still have a major, even if you feel that, you still have a major issue at one of the tackle spots.
I mean, you're talking about an opportunity to come in, probably be a starter, play in an offense with a lot of experience that's going to be good, and play against SEC competition, which is just going to enhance your draft stock. It really, like you said, it seems like a very easy sell. And it's not that Mason Miller is a good recruiter. He's been able to bring in quality guys. I don't think that it's just on him. I think it's just there's some sort of disconnect here where people, I don't know if it's tackles saying, look, I don't want to pass block 700 times in a season. I don't know if that's the case or not, but
It's not the best offense for a lot of offensive linemen.
Yeah. Charles Cross is a guy born to play in this kind of offense, a long, lean pass blocker. Not everybody is that guy, but State does need to find somebody there. Otherwise, I think Percy Lewis is going to get a starting job one way or the other. It's just, is he going to be on the right or the left based on what State can bring in here?
They did. They did offer while we were talking. Prince Pines.
We saw had
kind of emerged as a potential target for Mississippi State because they offered him coming out of high school. But he's been at Sam Houston State.
That's correct.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And has been really, really good there. But State had recruited him out of high school, and it just kind of made sense. So we'll see if something transpires from that. But they just offered him while we're doing the show.
Right. Yeah, they need
somebody. Get a good quality body in there and have the competition in the offseason. Let's see what happens.
We will see what happens. All right, one thing before we go, a loss on Sunday that we had sort of thought was coming, but it did in fact happen. MSU's 14-game winning streak against Ole Miss in women's basketball is over. Bulldogs fall in Oxford 86-71. Robbie, this felt like it had been a long time coming. The game getting canceled last year in Oxford probably helped State. This time, they couldn't escape it.
Yeah, they were going to lose last year, I have no doubt. They were going to lose that ball game. And I felt like this was going to be a really, really tough task for Mississippi State to even stay in the game because this is the worst possible matchup for Mississippi State. This is a team that can really lock down defensively. State's not a good three-point shooting team, and Ole Miss was going to make them shoot those if they didn't turn them over, but they turned them over, so a lot of that didn't matter. Couldn't match up with Shakira Austin. I really thought their best chance was to play a zone defense, and they stuck with the man the whole time. And I think Doug Novak has kind of that same – personality as Vic Schaefer, that he's going to stick through that through thick and thin. And I just feel like that was the only way to win that ball game, especially with their best rebounder out in Danae Carter. So that was kind of expected the way that thing played out for the Bulldogs. But, we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
I don't think that I'm not trying to ask if Ole Miss about to go on an 8-year winning streak or anything like that. But is there any possibility if State's at full strength when that game comes to Starkville, that things could turn around?
They're going to have a completely different game plan, and they're going to have to play a whole lot cleaner. 17 turnovers in the game. Most of those came in the first half, so that was just that was a big part of things. But they couldn't rebound, and that Danae Carter being out, I thought was big, and State was down. They didn't have the players. But they didn't play well either.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they play really, really well, they could. And, the crowd could have a factor in the game if they have a big crowd, because Ole Miss hasn't played with this particular group inside any kind of hostile environment. They haven't played South Carolina. They haven't played Tennessee on the road. And they lost that game against Tennessee when they played the other night. So, that's a much better Ole Miss team. And it's, they have the better players right now. They're on a roll. That's going to be a tough game to win. And, Coach Yeo made some comments after the game about they plan on coming and doing the same thing, in February. So Mississippi State's going to have to play a totally different ball game.
We'll see what happens. All right. Like I said, glad to be back with you guys. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll do some more basketball, maybe some more recruiting, and, should be a good week of MSU sports. Talk about. Looking forward to it. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.